They advised him in the dream that you need to move our graves because water from the Tigris River was seeping into their graves. The king commanded that an area between the graves and the river be dug open to ascertain the truth of the matter. They, however, found no sign of water in the graves. Therefore, the king dismissed this dream. But he saw the same dream a number of times again, and it started to worry him. So he gathered the ulama of Iraq, and he narrated this dream to them. One of the ulama that was there mentioned that he too had seen the same dream. After deliberation and consultation, it was decided that the graves of these two great Sahaba should be opened. If water was indeed seeping into their graves, then the bodies would have to be moved to a new location. Regarding dreams, then we should understand that we cannot establish anything in deen through a dream. Deen is perfect already. However, certain signs and indications Allah Ta'ala gives in a dream at times. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the Sahaba regarding dreams at length. Books have been written regarding dreams. There are three types of dreams. One dream is hadithun nafs. Sometimes a person is worrying about something. He sees many, many things during the day. And so when he dreams, he will see that in different forms. Then you get a dream that is waswasa of shaitan. Shaitan will terrify this person in his dream. He'll wake up with a panic, worried, scared. So that also we don't worry about. But the third type of dream, according to how true a person is himself, how truthful he is, and how sincere he is, then Allah Ta'ala will give him true dreams. The nubuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started like this. 6 months, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to see very, very true dreams. So it is not a condition or a sign that a person is pious also when he sees very, very true dreams. Not a sign that he is an accepted servant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala can show a person certain signs through his dream. So this was a sign. That is why the king gathered the ulama to ascertain whether this dream he is seeing is something of significance or not. So nevertheless, it was established now that they should do this, because obviously it wasn't something to interfere with the Sharia. It was a matter of administration. So because this was the first time in the history of Islam that the graves of the Sahaba were to be opened under such circumstances, the Iraqi government made elaborate preparations for this momentous event. A date was decided on and it was publicized accordingly, so that people could attend. Now remember, it wasn't a time of internet. Therefore, and furthermore also, the kuffar, this is not something that will be appealing to them or that will serve their purpose. So therefore, we find that this is mentioned in the kitabs, mentioned in the Islamic books, Islamic magazines here and there, but we won't find it widely publicized by the mainstream media, because obviously that doesn't suit their agenda. However, it does correspond with our beliefs, and that is why we will accept it. Incidentally, the date was close to the period of Hajj. When the news reached Makkah and Medina, people who were on Hajj requested that the date be reset for a later time so that they could attend as well. And the date was set to a later date. Many people from Iraq and other areas arrived on the stipulated date, and the graves were opened amazingly after 13 centuries. Their bodies were completely fresh and intact. Now, why shouldn't we accept this? These were Sahaba, and furthermore, we know in Jannatul Baqi, in Medina Sharif, time and again we hear the grave was opened and the body was intact. Hazrat Maulana Badri Alam, very, very popular about him, that few times they opened his qabr and they found that his body was intact. So this is not something that is far-fetched for us to believe. A non-Muslim eye specialist who witnessed the proceedings confirmed that the special glow, which normally disappears after a few moments when a person dies, that was still noticeable in the eyes of both Sahaba. On seeing this, he had accepted Islam. Now remember, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, perhaps it was the other Sahabi as well, because they were fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were made shaheed. And the shaheed is alive بل أحياءٌ عند ربهم يرزقون. They are alive and they've been sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their bodies are preserved. So it was preserved to the point where the glow of his eye was still there. So an area close to the grave of Hazrat Salman Farsi was prepared. The bodies were raised from the graves and moved to their abodes of rest. Many people present were fortunate enough to assist in carrying the blessed bodies to their respected graves. Many non-Muslims who witnessed this miracle had accepted Islam. Allah Pak says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق. We will show them our signs in the universe and within themselves until it becomes manifest to them that this religion is the truth. And Allah Ta'ala's way is that Allah Ta'ala will show these signs time and again from time to time. One person showed me in his fish tank Allah Ta'ala's name on the fish. Someone will see the kalima written somewhere. So Allah Pak will show these signs. But obviously all these signs, they will have to have a slight element of doubt, because iman requires that you believe beyond doubt. So that person want to reject, he will find an excuse to reject. But what we also understand from this is that regarding Sahaba radiallahu anhum, especially at this time, we should understand that we should have extreme love for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We should have extreme love. And when we go to Madina Sharif, then we make sure that we send salams to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. We go to Jannatul Baqi. We make dua for the Sahaba. And among the things we say, may Allah reward you for what you have done for this ummah. Because of them, we received our deen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we always hear it in the khutbah, Allah, Allah, fear sahabi, fear Allah regarding my Sahaba. Don't make them a target of abuse. Especially at this time, the ulama are speaking, so I'll mention very, very quickly that when it comes to the Shia, then we find that it is part of their deen to swear the Sahaba. People have mentioned that we went to make salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the person next to me is standing and swearing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That person, ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْهُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was with him in the cave. And someone asked one great scholar about the position of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. So he said, the position now when they have passed away, where they are? Right next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is their position. That was how it was when they were alive. That is how they will be raised on Qiyamah. And that is how they are. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had extreme love. So remember, the Shia, they say some terrible things. I was listening to Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi's clip. And he says, I got a book that I got in Medina on the 7th floor of one of the hotels. The Shias were distributing this book. And he says the absolute filth, Maulana was mentioning it in his masjid many, many years ago. He said the absolute filth they mentioned regarding Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and they justify why they can swear him also. So we should understand very, very clearly the line has been drawn. There's no blurred lines. That these people are kuffar, they are out of Islam, and we can never stand on the same platform with them. May Allah Ta'ala give us understanding.